Every Friday night, we bring in the Shabbos by reciting the Kiddush, or Kabbalah Shabbos. And Shabbos is one of the cornerstones of Yiddishkeit, of Judaism, and the Shabbos has brought many people, after an experiencing a Shabbos, have brought many people closer to Judaism, and then have made them more observant. So one of the many questions that arise, this isn't a new question, but it probably happened more often now than it used to, is the question of whether one can invite non-observant Jews to a meal on Shabbos. Why wouldn't you? Of course you can. It's a mitzvah of Suda Shabbos. We have a mitzvah to have three meals on Shabbos. Kol Yisrael Revim Zeh LaZeh. All Jews are responsible for one another. Then, if, of course, it's a mitzvah Achnasas Arachim. Inviting people over any day of the week, certainly on Shabbos, besides the mitzvah Achnasas Arachim, entertaining guests, they have a mitzvah of Suda Shabbos. So, what do you mean? Can you? So, obviously, the question is, of course, you could invite non-observant Jews to your meal. That's not an issue. The issue is, how are they going to get there? Or we'll see if it is an issue or it isn't an issue. But the potential issue is, how are they going to get to your house? Let's assume you know they're going to drive. They live far away and they can't walk. So the question is, can you invite someone to your house on Shabbos? It doesn't have to be your house. As we'll see, it could be a shul program. Whatever the case may be, knowing that potentially they might desecrate the Shabbos to get there. And because in addition to the mitzvah of bringing them in, of having them a Shabbos meal, we know in the Torah, in the book of Vayikra, Perak Yutes, Halacha Yudalid, the Torah tells us, "Me'iva lo sitein michshol." Literally, you can't put a stumbling block in front of a blind. If a blind person is coming and walking, you can't put a stumbling block in front or they're going to trip up. And the Gemara in Avodah Zarah and the Avav HaMabez extends it not to just literally speaking someone blind, but it means even spiritually facilitating others to sin. If you're involved in the fulfillment of other people's sin, that's a violation of Ne'ive Lo Sitei Michshol. So the question is, by inviting people over for Shabbos, would you be in violation of the biblical prohibition of putting a stumbling block in front of the blind? So Rav Moshe Feinstein, in the 1950s, I think 1953, there might be a couple of tshuvas on the issue. A Rav from Detroit asked him the following shaila. He wanted to know if he could invite people to come to the shul for apparently a shul program or this for davening, knowing that the person's going to drive to shul on Shabbos. So Rav Moshe first dies off by saying it's Lufnei Iver lo sitein michshol. He thinks it's a problem of facilitating others. So if the only reason they're driving, if they wouldn't be driving if not, then we're dealing with the Lufnei Iver Daraisa. So Rav Moshe was very against, in addition to violating Lufnei Iver, you can't do it. He even throws as a big chiddush that you're even like a masis. A masis is someone who basically causes others to sin. As the Torah tells us in Dvarim, Perak Yigimel, Zayin to Yidbeis, that there's certain times that if you cause someone else to sin, you lead them to Avodah Zarah, it could lead to Achi of Misa, capital punishment, capital crime. And Rav Moshe's chiddush is that masis even applies to non-Avodah Zarah. If you cause someone else to do Avodah Zarah, that's a masis. But Rav Moshe's chiddush is, even if you don't cause him to do Avodah Zarah, but you cause him to do something, a serious sin, that's also a problem. How does he know this from? Based on the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Chavtes, where the Gemara talks about, we all know the story of the Gan Eden and the Garden of Eden, and over there in that story with Adam and Eve, Adam and Chava, the snake is classified as a masis, because the snake, the nachash, kavintchava to violate the command of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not to eat, to violate not to eat from the Eitz Hadas. And we see from the Gemara that the Basin Shamala didn't defend it, that God didn't suggest a defense for the Nachas. So we see that just like over there, the snake had no defense. Just like over there, God didn't offer a defense for the snake. So too, you cause someone else to sin, I'm not going to offer a defense for you to receive. So Moshe says, one, it's of the Iver, and secondly, it's a potential violation of Mace. It's a very serious Aveira. And therefore, Ramosha was very strict on the matter. He said, an adamant no. And in fact, they ask a kasha on Ramosha from a tshuva elsewhere. Ramosha talks about, not Ramosha, Rav Shlomo Zalman. Interesting on this issue, Ramosha is lenient, and Rav Shlomo Zalman is a little stricter. I wouldn't say strict, but stricter than Ramosha. But in the following case, they were asked, what about Shomer Shabbos residency? So someone's a resident, and they put on the schedule that they have to work on Shabbos. So clearly, if you could switch with a non-Jew, of course, that's the best thing, because non-Jew doesn't have to keep Shabbos. But let's say you have the ability to switch with a non-observant Jew. Are you allowed to switch shifts, knowing that if you switch shifts, this person will probably be involved in Chilul Shabbos? So Rav Shlomo Zalman says, no, it's of Na'ivir. And Rav Moshe says, no, it's not a problem. So the question is, why not? Does this contradict what he's saying by Shul? So some say, no, it's not a contradiction. That when it comes to the case of having a Shabbos program in the Shul, so then it looks like, according to Rav Moshe, that you're endorsing, you're condoning Chilul Shabbos, that you're letting Chilul Shabbos if you're coming to Shul, which was the practice of some other, you know, outside of the Orthodox Shuls, that was the practice that people used to drive to Shul. So he didn't want you to look like you're endorsing, like coming to Shul, it's okay to drive. That would be like endorsing Chilul Shabbos. When it came to the shifts, well, it's Pikuach Nefesh anyway, so therefore, it doesn't imply any endorsement, because the only reason he's allowing it, because you're saving lives is Docha Shabbos. So that's the approach of Rav Moshe Feinstein, and it's not just him, there are people before him, others, but these are the three, how they brought down the three famous shitas, but that's Rav Moshe's shita. The second shita is on the other extreme, on the permitted extreme, Rav Moshe Sternbuch, he points out that he was asked a specific question, whether someone became a Baal Tshuva, so his parents weren't from, he wanted to know, could he invite his non-observant parents to a Friday night meal, Shabbos meal, knowing that they're probably going to drive. So Rav Moshe Sternbuch says, yes. Doesn't he deal with the Chiddush of Mesis, he doesn't deal with. He doesn't hope in the Chiddush. But what about the Pashas? It's of Ne'ivir. Aren't you endorsing, you're end up facilitating other people to Machal Shabbos? So Rav Moshe Sternbuch has a big Chiddush. And we'll see, there's precedence for this Chiddush. Rav Moshe Sternbuch has a big Chiddush that you only violate with Ne'ivir if your intentions are bad, if your intentions are to harm the individual. In other words, if you're putting a stumbling block to trip them up while you're doing something to cause them to sin, so then it's a problem. But if you really have good intentions, so then there's no of Ne'ivir. So he says, since you're not doing it, you're doing it to get the person to enjoy the Shabbos, to enjoy Shabbos, then he'll start keeping other things. So your intentions are good. Rav Moshe Sternbuch has a Chiddush, the only time you violate of Ne'ivir, if your intentions is l'ra, but if it's v'tov, it's not. Like we see by wounding oneself, chabura, chavala, that it's us to wound yourself. However, we know for therapeutic purposes, it's permitted. You know, so whatever therapeutic purposes, but in a case, let's say, where plastic surgery is permitted, or other type of things where you're allowed to do chavala to yourself in order to make yourself better, in order to benefit from it. So too, Shabbos invitations, you're inviting them in order that the people should become observant. And really, before Rav Shlomo Zalman, there's Rav Akiva Eger. Rav Akiva Eger in Yeridaya points out, the Gemara talks about a makis and kedushin, the yisur of makif and nikuf, that it's usur for a man to put a razor on his face. It's also for him to do it, and also nikuf, it's also for his face to be shaved. Even if someone else does it, he can't be shaved by a razor. And pashtus, and that's the halacha, a woman is not included in the prohibition of shaving. However, she seems to violate lufnei iver if she shaves a man with a razor. So the shaila asked to Rabbi Akiva Eger was, the case was, a man's going to shave anyway. Obviously, you try to cajole, talk to him that he won't shave with a razor. He's using a razor anyway now. The question is, if he shaved with his old face with a razor, he'll violate two things, the makif and nikif, two biblical violations. But if a woman shaves him, a woman will violate with naivir, but not the other two. So, or if he shaves, it also only violate one. If she shaves, it only violate. So therefore, they point out that Rabbi Akiva Eger says, yes, it's permitted. That it's better for a woman to shave him than to shave himself, because you look at the bigger picture, he's really helping. You know, we'll get into it. It's a different discussion connected Gemara Shabbos Daf Daled about if you're allowed to do a small sin and want to stop a big sin or not. So either way, that's the opinion of Ramosha. So Ramosha Feinstein seemed very strong against. Ramosha Sternbuch says, it's heter gomer, no strings attached. You know, that's it. And Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, and it seems to be the more mainstream approach, Rav Schechter, Rav Soloveitchik, others, that we should be forbidden to invite non-observant guests, but you should try to offer them a place to sleep, or try to work it out where they don't have to violate an avera. And if they do, it's their choice. In other words, the Mishnah says in Shvius, Perakei Halach Abav, it's also to sell certain types of agricultural instruments to semi-observant Jews during Shemitah. Because why? Because plowing is the instruments used for plowing, which is usher, so it's usher to sell it to them. However, harvesting equipment, which could be used for leheter or leisser, so then it's mutter, there's no problem with naivir. And therefore, as long as you create some type of suffix that you invite them, you offer them to stay over, etc., so then what could invite them? And that was to show where he is to for Sameach. He was asked about setting up Shabbos program, sleeping there. So he says there's no violation of naivir because it's only a suffix. Like we see in the Mishnah in Shviyas, that seems to be according to many normative halacha. So to summarize, we have Rav Moshe Feinstein, who is very machmer, he thinks it's of the Ivra Mesis. We have Rav Moshe Sternbuch, who says it's Heter Gomer, and he says it's like Rabbi Akiva Eger's Pal of Naiv, with Naiv it's only for negative, if a positive it's a mitzvah, it's perfectly fine. And Rav Shlomo Zalman, and in between, you try to create some suffix, maybe you offer them a place to stay. You know, so people deal with it different ways. And, you know, someone invites them Chanukah Purim so they could drive. So remote, right, that seems to, you know, so therefore different communities follow the different postgames.